Good morning. Let's have a quick reminder of what we've learned in Colossians so far. Well, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, chapter 1. All things were made by him. All things were made for him. Jesus holds everything together. In Jesus, all the fullness of God was made to dwell, chapter 1, 19. In other words, if there is anything you want to know about God, Jesus is where you need to look, and you need to get to know him. We learn humans who were once hostile to God are reconciled to God by Jesus' death on the cross. And Paul says there is nothing else we need to know. The knowledge of God's mystery is to be found in Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Since the very beginning, this has been known, a mystery hidden in plain sight. We've seen that Colossians is a dense and pithy letter, which contains so much it's hard to absorb it all in one reading. And of course, chapter 3 is no different. This is really rich fare. Paul's letter cannot be rushed. It's as if he only has a short time and one piece of paper on which to write, or is running short of ink and has to condense every word and thought down to the most concise way of putting it. It's a bit like a good stock that's been boiled down and down and leaves only the rich juices and nutrients, the meaty, flavourful, life-giving bits. So let's see what we can learn about God from chapter 3 and the first 17 verses. The first four verses. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Do we really need to know anything else? Isn't that the gospel in four sentences? We are raised with Christ. In other words, Christians, our place is in heaven with Jesus. Because we are in him, we are raised with him. In fact, that is the most important thing we should be thinking about, Paul says. Set our minds on things above. He says it twice. Stop getting bogged down in earthly matters. We belong with Jesus in heaven, and we will also appear with him in glory. Is there anything that could possibly matter more to us than that? Jesus is in heaven, at the Father's right hand, and we follow him there. Jesus tells us directly in John's Gospel, "Abide in me," he says, "and I in you." We're in him. The things we worry about, lose sleep over, are in the reality of God, trivial and sometimes quite silly. We easily get trapped into confining our thoughts to earthly things, earthly problems, which restrict our experience of the very big God who has dominion over everything. Our question for us today is, can we learn to let ourselves loose in him instead? It's all about our daily perspective. Are we down on the ground, looking at the soil and the dirt? Or are we on top of the mountain, taking in the huge views, the Milky Way, the heavens, the whole of the earth with its spiraling universe, and our eternal place in it? Could we try this week to look at the world through God's eyes, not just our own? I wonder what sort of difference that would make. Verse 4, when Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ is who is your life. Is Jesus your life? Is he the life of this church? Life with Jesus is near. He's with us now. He will come back. The Bible tells us this over and over again. And he will include us in the heavenly new life that belongs to him. Are we overjoyed and thrilled to be part of this plan and his life? We should be thinking of this so much more than we do. I know I should. We have so much as Christians to look forward to. We may have a few nice things booked in our diaries this week, but why not ponder on our future in Jesus as well? With Jesus in glory. What's that going to be like? In the next few days, when things feel heavy and problematic, let's try to bring our minds back to the important and overriding stuff and put ourselves in Jesus and seek the things that are above. Let's get back to the big picture and see what difference it might make. In verse 5, Paul continues with a caution, however. Yes, this heavenly life is just around the corner, but we do need to take care, as we can easily fall into idolatry, which is our old way of life. And he pulls no punches here. We must put to death what is earthly in us. We must kill it off. No mercy, no half-hearted thinking. No, oh, but surely it's not that bad. Or, oh, but that would mean giving up too much. Or, but it's uncomfortable for me to think about doing that. Paul just says, put it to death. God has no time for anything unclean, and we're to do away with it. Our idols do not lead us anywhere. Okay, so what do we need to kill off in ourselves? Well, there is an unsavory list, which we just heard read in verse 5. Sexual immorality, we must kill it. Impurity, we must stamp it out. Lust, extinguish it. Evil desire, uproot it. Greed, bin it. Why? Because it is because of these things in all of our hearts that the wrath of God is coming. He has to deal with the sin in our lives. If we are putting any of these things before God, we can have no part of him. There are two things in the Christian faith which make us uncomfortable, I think. One is that the Bible tells us very clearly that we are all full of sin. However nice and good we think we are not. And the second thing is that God is filled with wrath at the stench of our sin. Human beings are not naturally righteous. We are flawed and we are broken and we are full of shame. It is our fault for falling away since Adam and Eve's disobedience in Eden. But God loves his Son. And if we are in Jesus, if our life is hidden with Christ, then what God sees in us is Jesus' righteousness. He loves us so much more than we imagine. Our sin is dealt with. We are truly set free. Praise God. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Put these sins away, Paul implores. Put them all away. You're different now. Verse 8. Put away anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to one another. These ugly things have no place in the life of a Christian. They bring us down. They take us away from God. Instead, Christians, we are in Jesus and we are becoming like him. It is like clothes, explains Paul. Take off that dirty, ugly old outfit. Put it far away from you. Now put on your new, fragrant, beautiful, shining clothes that only Jesus could give you. The old self has been put off and the new self put on. We are given the chance to be made new. How do we feel about that? What a relief and what a glorious feeling. In 1 Corinthians, Paul describes it another way. He says, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. In Romans 12, Paul writes, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed literally translates meaning a metamorphosis. We are to be as different as a butterfly is from the caterpillar from which it comes. If you didn't already know about caterpillars, you would never guess that such a beautiful, ethereal creature would emerge from a hairy little worm. Totally new clothes. We are the same individuals, but wow, what a difference. Maybe God made caterpillars and butterflies just to show us how different we will one day become from what we are now. We are worms right now, but oh my goodness, one day you wouldn't believe how beautiful our transformation will be with Christ in glory. We start our changes right now. The old life we used to live is dead to us, just as if we had seen our old life nailed up on the cross with Jesus. So we have new clothes. What are we to wear then? Paul makes another list in verse 12. We are to put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness. Does it sound like anyone we know? It's just like Jesus. I wonder, is there someone today that we could forgive? Can we show kindness and compassion to a neighbour this week? Could we be humble and patient and giving? Do we really feel like we're as like this already? If you look at verse 10, though, that brings us hope, I think, because many of us don't feel like we are like Jesus. What do you notice about verse 10? You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. It doesn't say you have put on the new self, which has been renewed after the image of its creator. It says you have put it on, but it is still being renewed. The process of renewal has begun in you. The metamorphosis is not yet complete. We've not yet become the butterflies. The best is yet to come with him in glory. God knows the struggle we have. Hebrews 4 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has been tempted in every way in his earthly life himself. He understands we can never do it on our own. And that is why Jesus had to come and do the messy, painful, sacrificial job himself. There is no way back to glory without him. And we owe him so much. Christians, we know Jesus died for our sins on that cross, don't we? We know we are different and we should be different. But be reassured that he has started that work in us, and that when God looks at us through Jesus, he sees us cleansed and free, just as he made us to be. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Let's ask God this week, let's make that our prayer, to let his peace rule in our hearts, since it is what he has called us to do. Remember Psalm 23 and the green pastures and quiet waters that David finds in the Lord. Let us take a walk by those waters with the Lord and be at peace this week. Let us be thankful for all he has done for each individual here today. And as we read the Bible, letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, as it says in verse 16, maybe our hearts will spill out of our hearts. Maybe our thanks will spill out of our hearts in song. Maybe we will literally sing for joy. When was the last time you did that? Children do it, don't they? Imagine all the Christian homes in Thurnby and Bushby being filled with songs this week. The Bible is full of people who are so filled with thanks and joy that they sing. It'd be like living in a musical, and maybe heaven will be like that. In Jesus, it is possible to rest in his peace, with hearts overflowing with gratitude and joyful singing, even in the most difficult passages of our lives. So to sum up this passage, We know that religion and self-improvement can never cure our deepest disease. We've tried it all before. All the self-help books in the universe, all the counselling won't put us right. But if we are Christians, we are raised with Christ and we are clothed with virtue, singing praises of thanks to him who created us, loves us, so that we can be with him in glory. At times, this Christian journey may be a road of setbacks, disappointments, and sorrow. We need church and each other to help and encourage us. If we are in Jesus, church is no better place. There is no better place to be than church. And we know, joy of joys, that our place in the end is with him in heaven. We have started making our way there in him now. And the very best is yet to come. In Philippians, Paul writes to the church, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Rest assured, he is not finished with us yet. Let us think about these things this week, the things that are above. You and I are hidden with Christ in God. When Christ returns, we also will appear with him in glory. Let us sing with thankfulness in our hearts. Let us be full of love for one another. Let us be united together as one body. And let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Let us put aside our old selves and metamorphose into our new selves a little bit every day. For we have died, and our lives are now hidden with Christ in God. And we will appear with him in glory. Amen.